Day one, spiritual understanding of God. A suggested method of developing a better spiritual understanding of God following a structured, systematic method utilizing quotations from both the Bible and the textbook of Christian Science, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Mary Baker Eddy has defined God by utilizing seven terms. The first chapter of Genesis up through verse 3 of chapter 2 is divided into 7 days as specified within the text. The Ten Commandments include 7 specific topics. The Lord's Prayer is divided into 7 topics, and the Beatitudes has 7 specific topics. The number 7 is symbolizing completeness in the Bible and also Mary Baker Eddy's writings. A table comparing these 4 different resources, all of which align on the 7 terms of God as defined by Mary Baker Eddy, was first presented to the public in a book authored by John Dorley. One of John Dorley's students was John L. Morgan, and John reviewed Mary Baker Eddy's other writings, which is a total of 16 books, which are entitled as Mary Baker Eddy's other writings, which refer to writings other than the textbook. In referring to the book by Mary Baker Eddy entitled Christian Science versus Pantheism, John Morgan writes in his book, Mary Baker Eddy's Other Writings, the following: all there is to our lives, our bodies, our relationships, is some activity of God. The divine all enters into the minutiae of all because we can never be outside of His allness. One longtime successful Christian Science practitioner defined body as everything that is within one's consciousness. That means everything, whether it is visible or invisible. When the term body is referred to in this recording and other recordings by the Mary Baker Eddy Institute, it accepts this expanded view of body. Really, body could be termed as consciousness, for that's exactly what consciousness includes. Everything, no matter whether it is visible or invisible, and is really the primary source of one's individual experience. The second quotation as an introduction to Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, which is presented in the textbook immediately following the title pages, is a quotation from Shakespeare, which states, "There is nothing either good or bad, but thinking makes it so." What we are thinking becomes our experience. Now, our thoughts can be conscious or unconscious, active or latent, voluntary or involuntary. All is within consciousness, whether we are conscious of it or not. Just as Jesus had a difficult time in healing in the area of Galilee, where he was raised from a boy until about the age of 30, after being successful coming from the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, and overcoming the three temptations of a supposed devil, it is important for anyone whom is desiring and striving for a better spiritual understanding of God to have their thought in the right atmosphere. And this usually means that their physical atmosphere needs to also be conducive to enhance the success of spiritual advancement. It is very important to segregate matter and spirit. Mary Baker Eddy gave us a very important statement called the Scientific Statement of Being, which states there is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. All is infinite mind in its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. The senses of seeing, hearing, feeling, tasting, and smelling are the method in which we identify everything. If we want to identify things of God, which is the only reality, then we must be utilizing our spiritual senses, which are defined as soul. On page 222 of the Blue Book by Richard Oakes, he quotes Mary Baker Eddy as defining the spiritual senses thus: sight, spiritual discernment. Hearing, spiritual understanding. Feeling, divine consciousness. Smell, intuition of character. Taste, relish of truth. Following are three very important definitions, two of God and one of good. From page 465, what is God? God is incorporeal, divine, supreme, infinite mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, love. From page 587, God, the great I am, the all-knowing, all-seeing, all-acting, all-wise, all-loving and eternal, principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, love, all substance, intelligence. Same page, definition of good. God, spirit, omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence, omniaction. She defines omniscience as including omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom, omni-knowing. Since our focus in this recording is on mind, which is day one. The definition of mind includes creativeness, capacity, capability, functionality, facility. And since God is the only reality, every single one of these includes the term omni, one, only, and all. There is no other. Definition of God included infinite. Therefore, all of these terms just described, capacity, capability, and so forth, they have no limitation whatsoever. As God's reflection, we have everything in whatever quantity is needed. With everything being omnipresent, it doesn't matter what situation we may be seem to facing. Every tool that is needed is right at our fingertips. If we need more hope, more faith, read the last 101 pages in the textbook. That is the final chapter, which is chapter 18 on fruitage, and it includes testimonies from 85 different people, each one having 5 or 6 healings, for a total of 486 healings, everything you can imagine. In other words, there is nothing that has not been healed by Christian Science. Everything imaginable has been healed through the application of Christian Science. Millions and millions of healings from hundreds and hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of members of the Christian Science faith, religion, and science have been healed. The 12 minutes of this recording, as of right now, has just basically listed some of the tools that are available. Now we will explore how Christian Science operates. On page 146 of the textbook, Mary Baker Eddy states the following: divine metaphysics is now reduced to a system, to a form comprehensible by and adapted to the thought of the age in which we live. This system enables the learner to demonstrate the divine principle upon which Jesus's healing was based, and the sacred rules for its present application to the cure of disease. On page 330, she states, when the 32 planks of the platform is understood, and the letter and the spirit bear witness, the infallibility of divine metaphysics will be demonstrated. The 32 planks are given in full text, beginning on page 330 to the end of the chapter, which is page 340. So it's 11 pages. And each one of the 32 topics are numbered. Think of the topics as a plank in a platform, 32 of which compose the entire platform that one can stand on, and that being their foundation. And as they understand those 32 planks, they will be able to elevate continuously toward infinity in their spiritual understanding. Mary Baker Eddy states, infinite progression is concrete being. Contemplate that. Einstein states, science without religion is lame. Religion without science is blind. After his friend Dr. Underwood, who was on the Atomic Energy Commission around World War II time frame, everyone in that commission except for Dr. Underwood lost their lives due to radiation. Einstein asked Dr. Underwood, "How did you survive?" He said, "I'm a student of Christian Science, Mary Baker Eddy, and the textbook." After that, Einstein became a very serious student of Christian Science, and he then made the statements after studying it. He said, "Blessed art thou," referring to Mary Baker Eddy, "because everything that is in this book," referring to Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. He also stated, "Imagine a woman discovered this 80 years ago." Now, Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science in 1866, so if he was stating exactly the number of years, that would be 1946. Now, the reason he said, "Imagine a woman did this," is because when Mary Baker Eddy discovered Christian Science, a woman could not vote, could not own title to property, and almost all of the privileges that were available to a man were not available to a woman. Just as in Jesus' time, when they said 4,000 attended one of his hillside teachings and 5,000 another, they said plus women and children. So they did not even count them. And there were probably twice as many women and children there as there were men. And how many were loyal? Well, how many showed up at the crucifixion? About a half a dozen people. I think there was only one man and the others were women. Mary Magdalene was one, the one that was healed of low morals, and his mother was there, probably Martha, Mary's sister. The bottom line is, out of the tens and tens of thousands of people that Jesus taught, and out of the hundreds that he appointed as disciples, because he had many more that he appointed beyond the 12, John was the only disciple, and none of the others came. Therefore, do not expect all of your friends and neighbors and family to openly accept the truth, because the generations of Adam, of lie upon lie, have a resistance to anything unlike the human lineage that has been promoted as being born as a sinner. And the human mind does not readily accept anything that is new. That's why the corrupt mainstream media keeps saying the same thing over and over and over because they know that the human mind has to be inundated with repetition. And of course, the motive of the mainstream media is to establish lies. As the CIA has very specifically stated in their program called Project Mockingbird. And the purpose of that program is to deceive the entire U.S. population so that what the population believes to be true is false. We have the exact quotations and the individuals that quoted them, which were the CIA directors, on our website. And you can search on the internet. It's better to use Yandex, Y-A-N-D-E-X, because I'm not sure what would come up if you use Google, because Google is the leader of corruption, and they censor all of the searches. So you may not get any of the truth about Project Mockingbird if you use the popular one, which is Google. But hopefully, Elon Musk is going to have a search engine to replace Google. He's been talking about it for several months. So hopefully it's going to be unfolded and ready for use soon. But the Yandex one has been the most reliable one that we have seen. And we use that exclusively. Something else you need to be aware of, which is how to utilize Christian Science, and that is that the definitions of God, which have now been recited in this recording, need to have a way to function. For example, the 10 digits of 0 through 9 in mathematics are not of any value whatsoever unless you have operators that give you a way to apply it to whatever situation it needs to be applied. And in mathematics, it's called the four of add, subtract, multiply, and divide. I'm not a mathematician, but I believe that everything else is based on those four operators, and probably in a much more complex way. For example, if you want to have a cube, or a cube root, or a square root, that's again based on the operators of multiplying and dividing. Multiplication is based on adding. The four operators in the system of divine metaphysics, and that term is from the definition that was recited in this recording just a few minutes ago. The operators are the Word, the Christ, Christianity, and science. And in very simple terms, the Word is all of the facts about God. And of course, you would start with the seven synonymous terms for God: mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. And of course, you would include the entire dictionary of the English language, each one of those being attributed and assigned to one of those seven terms. And if it is a negative term, then you just need to flip it to the positive term, and that again assigns to the seven synonymous terms. The Christ is translating whatever the topic is to make sure that you are viewing it in spiritual terms. When Jesus would be walking along the wayside or traveling on his animal, and he would stop and talk to someone that was in need. It did not matter what their problem was. He basically wanted to know whether or not they were receptive to being healed. And he internally saw them as the child of God, perfect in every way. Appearance had no impact on Jesus at all, other than to recognize that there was a need. So he automatically translated the appearance to the spiritual reality as being a true reflection of the perfection of God. That's the Christ. The Christ is not a man. Jesus was the highest representative of the Christ. And so he is given the title of Christ for that reason. He's not truly Jesus the Christ. He is truly Christ Jesus. Just as one would say that is Mr. this or Mrs. this or Miss this or Senior this or Doctor or Professor. A title, in other words. Christ is a title given to Jesus. And as Mary Baker Eddy has stated, he was the best man that ever walked the globe. He was the greatest example of the perfect man being a reflection of the perfect God. So Christian Scientists refer to him as Christ Jesus. The third operator is Christianity. And Christianity very simply means that you utilize the facts about what God is. You utilize the translation of what the Christ does in translating from whatever material aspects there are in appearance to the real spiritual nature. And you put those two together and you can demonstrate the truth about whatever the topic is. If it's a blind man, you're going to demonstrate that the truth about a blind man is that he cannot be blind because blindness is a lack of sight. And in the kingdom of heaven, there is no lack of anything. And within the Christ consciousness, there is no lack of anything. All is perfect and omnipresent. So demonstrating is what Christianity is all about. Proving the truth. By the way, the very first quote at the beginning of the textbook, along with the one mentioned already from Shakespeare, is from Jesus, the words of Jesus, quoted by John in the Gospel of John, which states, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free." Free, just like the statement of scientific being, where it starts out with, "There is no life, truth, intelligence, or substance in matter. all is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Therefore, as we translate from whatever form that it's presented to us in, and we translate that to the spiritual reality, then we're going to be free of the false belief that there's a problem, or that there's any limitation whatsoever. One of the finest metaphysicians to practice Christian Science, Frederick L. Rawson, was able to make his healings effective back in time, whenever the problem was first discovered to exist in belief. Didn't matter whether it was a week ago or 10 years ago, 20, 30 years ago. It could have been a problem that appeared at birth. Through his spiritual understanding, he was able to restore the individual to their true spiritual nature, effective with the first time that it was noticed that there was a problem. He documented that there's over 500 times that that was proven. He was a great researcher. His profession was electricity. People came from all over the world for him to solve the problems that their companies could not solve. And this was back early 1900s, like 1900 to, well, he went around the corner where we couldn't see him anymore in 1925, so it was before 1925. Think of the time that it would take for some of those people to get to him. I think it was like probably 3 weeks to get from the U.S. to the U.K. He was based in the U.K. They could have come from 12,000 miles away, which would have taken a lot more than 3 weeks. But they would go to him because no one else could seem to solve the problems. So he was a great researcher, and he was known for that, and he was also known to be a student of the Bible. And because of his reputation as solving electrical problems, the largest newspaper in the UK went to him and said, "We've got reports that there's people from Boston, Massachusetts that are performing healings. We'd like for you to research it and see if this is true." Well, the result was, not only did he take the commission that was given to him, or he was paid to do whatever, but he became one of the best Christian Scientists that ever existed. He solved every problem that anyone ever brought to him. He had 15-minute appointments. In 15 minutes, it was solved. If one has a problem and they want to solve it through Christian Science, you've got to remember that, number one, you have to have the right attitude. And if you need more faith, as mentioned, read chapter 18, 486 different testimonies. If you're a scientifically oriented person, read page 146, where it says Christian Science has been reduced to a system. Think about what Einstein said, that science must have religion, and religion must have science. Christian Science is the only religion that is scientific, that is based on science. The same science that Jesus utilized in every one of his healings. Be grateful that the United States has a new president. Well, whether he's new or not is another story. Because he has been the commander-in-chief since 2017. Even though there was someone with a different name in there for the last 4 years, that individual had no authority whatsoever because it was all a fraudulent reporting of the election. And so the one that was elected in 2016 and took office in January of 2017 has always been the commander-in-chief. A substantial military reports to him, has always reported to him. Anyway, officially he's coming from behind the curtain in 2 weeks from now, on January 20. Well, as of yesterday, 2 weeks. Today is January 7, 2025. And he has been embarking since 2017 to drain the swamp, to bring in what Jesus related to John in the book of Revelation. Because Jesus, after his resurrection and ascension, came back in the flesh on the island of Patmos to dictate the book of Revelation to John. One of the ones I'm most grateful to is John, of the disciples, because he was the only one that showed up at the crucifixion, and he was the only one qualified to receive the book of Revelation. They couldn't kill him. They put him in a pot of boiling oil. I'm also extremely grateful for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They overcame the fiery furnace. And how about Daniel in the lion's den? Moses. He turned his stick into a rod that stirred up the serpents of the devil, so-called, and destroyed him. And then his stick became a staff to be the support. So it was the rod and the staff. He's the one that discovered the Ten Commandments. He's also the first one that recognized God as I am that I am. We have many great characters. And if you want to become an expert on the Bible, study the works of Dr. Robert C. Putnam. He was a master chemist. That's where he got his doctorate title. And he was a student of Bliss Knapp. Bliss Knapp was under the tutelage of Mary Baker Eddy's since the time he was 7 or 8 years old, because his mother had a premature, tragic passing. So he gave us 10 Bible lessons, which is a 169-page book that covers everything important in the Bible from beginning to end. And in order to understand the 169 pages, because that is basically an index or a summary, and to understand that, he gives you references of hundreds of pages from the Bible that document exactly what his summary is all about. 35 years of research to write those 10 Bible lessons. He was a real, genuine researcher, looking, seeking the truth. It's the best that we are aware of here at the Institute, and we've tried everything. We've tried Spendy software. The last one was $800 we invested in. It was supposed to be the very best. Spent $500 for one piece of software that was added to the $800 one. Several that were written Bible lesson programs. Anyway, this is the best. We found this to be the very best. Very structured. All you have to do is have the desire to learn the Bible. And what he wrote, along with what Mary Baker Eddy gives us in Science and Health and her other writings, there's no one else that can give you a better resource than those right there that are mentioned. The fourth operator is science. So it's the Word, all the facts about God, the Christ, which is translating the situation from anything less than spiritual into its spiritual light. Christianity, which is proving the facts about God and the translation to be true and that it works. Therefore, you demonstrate, which means you heal the situation. And the fourth one is termed science. Science means that everything is automatic. You're like Jesus. It's automatically translating everything. It's automatically bringing forth a healing, because of your understanding of what God is. Science is living in the kingdom of God. Perfect man, perfect God, perfect atmosphere, because you're living in the heaven, which is the perfection of all existence. Mathematics is good, and mathematics is utilized, as you can see. We use numbers, 4 of this, 7 of that. You multiply your elements by the Word, Christ, Christianity, and science. You know, there's algorithms, just like in mathematics. Music uses mathematics. If you know anything about music, you will know that you can't go very far in music unless you understand the mathematics of music. The 8 notes, the primary ones, and the 5 black keys, which are the sharps and flats. The many different operators and rules, just like mathematics, you got to follow them if you want harmony. So obviously, almost all the so-called noise you hear now is not music because it's not harmonious. That's why the classics are timeless. They knew what mathematics was all about and how it applied to produce harmony. Even Beethoven, who was hopelessly deaf, as described by Mary Baker Eddy, he knew what harmony was. Mozart, of course, the genius from a young boy, knew what it was all about. All of the great composers from Russia, they all knew what it was all about. If we want to be a great Christian Scientist, in other words, effective, we must know what math is all about and how it applies to the system of divine metaphysics. Let me review the primary things that are mentioned in Genesis chapter 1 that are classified as day 1. You know, it states right at the bottom, this is the first day. So, that's the category that we're talking about right here. Now, keep in mind that day is only a concept. Has nothing to do with mathematics. A day is a mental measurement of spiritual development. It's not 365 days that make up a year. It's not 24 hours that make up a day or 1,440 minutes or the millions and millions of moments, because a moment is defined as the smallest measurement of time. No, that's not what a day is. Mary Baker Eddy will give you a spiritual definition of day, but it has nothing to do with minutes or hours. The same thing with a year. She defines a year. Has nothing to do with mathematics. It's spiritual progress. Everything can be defined as relating to God. Time has nothing to do with God, and God has nothing to do with time. And as mentioned, Frederick L. Rawson proved that to be true. He proved, in fact, he stated that in the UK, prior to him being in school, and this was around 1900 or before, late 1800s, or let's say mid 1800s to 1925, they taught there was no time. I don't know if they ever did that in the U.S., because I've never seen in writing where anyone stated that before. But he was a real researcher, and if he says it, you can bet that he's got the documentation to prove it. So he was able to overcome the belief of time because he could prove what he was saying. In fact, he says, in the, quote, material world, everything happens at once. It's like going to a movie. You're viewing different parts of time and related actions. But when you walk in the movie theater, or you turn on your television or tune into the internet, however method you're using, it's already there. It's already done. Mary Baker Eddy defines the first three words of Genesis chapter 1, where the Bible says in the beginning, she defines that as being in the only. If something is true, it has always been true. That means there's no time. Always means no time. And of course, when you study Christian Science, you will find that throughout it talks about time being here and now. The only time is here and now. The only place is now, here. So the only time is now. The only place is here. Christian Science practitioners, since the beginning, have been able to overcome the belief of space. Because usually a Christian Science practitioner is never where the patient is. For many decades, it's been telephone communication. Now, I presume it's probably different. Maybe instant messenger, who knows? But they were not together. As a matter of fact, it's much easier as a practitioner to not see any personality. And of course, if you're together in the same room, automatically, human senses normally will see and make opinions about what they see. Now, this one I mentioned to you, a longtime practitioner that was such an expert, this was a friend. This is the present era. This was not 15 years ago or so, which would be Frederick L. Rawson is who I referred to, but this would be someone that I knew personally. And I visited her and her husband one day. I lived, 1,000 or so miles away, so I didn't visit them very often. But I had an occasion to be in the town where they lived. So I made arrangements to come and see them. And when I arrived at their door, they were watching the Summer Olympics. And she was one of those rare ones that when she saw someone, she did not see their physical appearance. She automatically translated whatever it was and didn't even think about what it was before the translation, but only identified them after the translation. Just like Jesus. So, in the Summer Olympics, they were having gymnastics. She immediately commented about the grace of the lady, who was a woman. That was what stood out to her. Nothing else. The grace of her performance. That's what we want to do. We want to strive to see qualities, not personalities. We want to see individualities. In other words, the unique reflection of the qualities of God. We all have a niche, a special place, a niche. We have our unique place in the universe. No one can infringe on it in any way. Everyone has their unique place, their unique position, their unique function. God knows it. Remember, God is the only creator, the only cause. God knows all. The all-knowing God, omni-knowing, omni-intelligence, omni-wisdom. Those are qualities of God. And nothing and no one else. No limitation. Everything is possible to God. What does that mean? It means overcoming any belief of life, truth, and intelligence in matter, or mortal mind, or anything else that's ungodlike. The scientific statement of being is very broad, all-comprehensive statement of the truth. By the way, the third quote, the third of three quotes at the beginning of the textbook is by Mary Baker Eddy. Oh, thou hast heard my prayer, and I am blessed. That is thy high behest. Thou here and everywhere. Thou. She's referring to God. Heard is part of hear, which means understands. Spiritual understanding. Prayer. The Bible says we should pray without ceasing. The only way to do that is for prayer to be every moment of our life. That is our prayer. What are we doing this moment? What are we thinking about? What are we talking about? No matter what we're doing, that is our prayer. Our life is our prayer. Jesus perfected his expression of humanity. That enabled him to demonstrate divinity. Bicknell Young, another great Christian Science practitioner, He had people coming to him all the time, seeking healing of business problems. Business problems. B-U-S-I-N-E-S-S. Think of it as busyness. Well, the problem is, the people that came to him, on the most part, did not keep busy enough to learn their business. So he sent them home. He wasn't even interested in talking to them, other than to tell them, you have to go learn your business first. Imagine walking up to a chalkboard. They don't use them much anymore. They use markers and paper, large dimension papers, like the flip charts and so forth. So you walk up to whatever it is, and you've got these markers. You've got an audience there, and you're going to teach them something. You're going to make diagrams and whatever. Show them a checklist. So God gives us the paper. God gives us the markers. But guess who has to use the markers? You and me. We have to work out the solution. God doesn't do it. He gives us the tools. We have to do the work. We cannot understand it if we can't do the work. We have to work it out. If you're going to study Christian Science, not only do you have to have the attitude that you are like exhausted because you are tired of failure, of relying on matter or mortal mind or anything that is strictly human as a solution. So you come to the point that I have nothing else. I have no other alternative. I have to go to God. I'm thinking of God as being something more powerful than anything else in my life. So I'm going to yield to God. You don't know for sure why, because you don't know much about him. Most people think of Jesus being God, which is obviously a mistake. I mean, can you really trust someone that came out of a womb of a woman? And somebody had the power to kill him? And that's your God? And insurance companies blame tornadoes and earthquakes and floods on God. And so they tell the ones that have insurance policies on their house or car or whatever that's damaged by one of these things that they define as an act of God, that they say, I'm sorry, you're not covered. That's an act of God. That's beyond anyone's control. Well, that's just a cop-out. It's just the fraud coming to the surface. Well, that's not the kind of God I want. I want one that is impervious to any other supposed power. I want one that is the only power. I want one that has no opposition, no competition. I want one that's perfect, that is always perfect. I want one that is where I am, no matter where I am. And that means where I am in my thinking or where I am physically. If I'm lying in bed dreaming, I don't dream, but most people do. But if I'm lying in bed asleep, yeah, I want God to be there. If there's a fire in the house, I want God to wake me up and tell me to get out of there. No, God doesn't transport me. I have to do the work. He gives me the tools. He wakes me up and He'll show me the path. But I have to do it. I have to follow. So that's the attitude we have to have. If we're going to use Christian Science, we have to have enough faith to know that there's a possibility of something better than what we've known of in the past or followed in the past. And as already noted, there's 101 pages in chapter 18 to give us some eye-opening alarm clocks. So those operators are what we use. The terms are what we use. Let me give you an example. By the way, everything is extemporaneous. So when you listen to this, you're going to find that it's rough on the edges. Because when the thought comes to me, I say it. And so you're going to hear what has come to the thought at the moment. So we know that the terms for God include mind, spirit, soul, principle, life, truth, and love. I'll tell you briefly, very briefly, what each of the seven represents. Because the whole American language is divided into those seven terms. So I'll just give you a couple of key words. Well, I already gave it to you for mind. So let's go to spirit. Spirit is flawless because that's substance. And if the substance is not flawless, I don't want God to be it. I don't want God to have defects. It has to be flawless. I don't want God to be hiding anything. So it has to be transparent. And I need to be able to reflect it. Since God is the only source, there's only one God, I have to be able to reflect God's qualities, otherwise it's not going to do me any good. So the spiritual substance has to be reflective, along with being flawless and being transparent. Soul, I already told you about that, but that's the way we identify things. And I already gave you the definition of the spiritual terms for sense. Now remember, spirit is the only substance. That means anything that is a part of mind is of the substance of spirit. Forget about material knowledge. If we want spiritual advancement, we have to be thinking about spiritual knowledge. We have to be knowing that God is the source of all real knowing. We don't study the laws of physics to find out about God. However, if we study the laws of God, that will help us understand physics. Because all intelligence is from God. So no matter what we're doing, this is where I'm talking about living our prayer. Then we have to be realizing that all intelligence is from God. Forget that pulpy thing up in the top of your thing sitting on top of your neck. Call it a brain. That's not where intelligence is. Do you think if somebody cuts your head off, all of a sudden there's no intelligence? Intelligence is not dependent upon anything physical. Nothing. Do you think love is dependent upon your body? A physical body? Do you think principle is dependent upon your physical body? You think life, truth? You think the fact that 90 degrees is perpendicular to the surface is dependent upon your body? You think 7 times 7 equals 49 is dependent upon your body? You think there's only one 7 in the world and that belongs to you? Do you think you have to go to a church in order for that to be true? We must convince ourselves on a human level that personality is trash. Individuality is heaven. We cannot have one foot on the shore and another one on the boat. We have to go across the invisible bridge . That's why mind, divine mind, the incorporeal, divine, supreme, and infinite mind is so valuable. It enables us to not be limited by physical appearances. Do you think that Frederick L. Rawson could go back in time and perform a healing? What was really truth that was performing the healing? Truth is the healer. He was only a catalyst because he opened his thought to the possibilities of truth. And he did that through mind. You see, mind works with truth, as I just described. Mind works with love. Do you want an intelligent way to express love to your wife, your mother, father, brother, sister, son, daughter, nephew, niece, aunt, uncle, friend, business associate? Love has nothing to do with emotion. Love has nothing to do with sexual intimacy, nothing to do with any kind of physical body, period. God is love. The only body that God is consciousness. And that is if we are dwelling in the Christ consciousness. The consciousness of perfection. Okay, so you know what soul is. The next one is principle. Principle is what was mentioned at the very beginning of this recording. Structure and system. And then I quoted to you what Mary Baker Eddy said about what is divine metaphysics. It's reduced to a system. A system needs a structure. The structure is what I've described to you. Everything I talked about, the seven terms for God, the four operators, that's the structure. And then how we utilize them is the system. So we have to utilize the intelligence of mind, the substance of spirit, the sense of soul, in order to have the correct structure and system with which we operate. And then we have to give it action, which is from life. Life is all activity. It is living the qualities of God. Not a substance of matter, but a substance of spirit. Because God is spirit. We're far away from God if we are thinking on a material level. If we are dwelling in the realm of spirit, it's a whole different atmosphere, an entire different realm than if we're not. The golden rule. That's as spiritual as you can get. If we lived the golden rule, we would be living Christian Science. We have to realize, in order to live the golden rule, we have to understand there's only one father and mother of everyone. Otherwise, we're not going to do it. If we're of the same father and mother, then if we hurt an individual, we're subtracting from God. We're subtracting from our understanding of God. We can't touch God. But we subtract from our understanding. We're putting a fog up. Have you ever been in a fog where you couldn't see your hand before your face? I have. You best not to move. You best not to get into it. Well, we're creating a fog where we can't see a thing. If we're going to let matter be our guide, or mortal mind be our guide, anything unlike God to be our guide, we're going to be blinding ourselves fast. We don't want a life in fog. How about truth? Well, you know what truth is. Truth is the opposite of error. It's the opposite of a mistake. It is what is real. The opposite of truth is unreal. 7 times 7 does not equal 48.999 nor 49.00001. 7 times 7 equals 49, right on the button. That's truth. You cannot improve a mistake. You have to replace a mistake with the truth. We cannot improve a mortal concept. We have to replace it with a spiritual concept. There is not room in consciousness for conflicting things. A conflict doesn't work with God, because God has no opposition and no competition. Mary Baker Eddy says, when we have a problem with something, we must solve it immediately. We don't let it fester, because if we do, it will only grow and be more difficult to solve. So at the onset of even being aware there's a problem, we have to take care of it. In my readings, I read about a fellow. It was a study of time management. And this fellow, he took care of everything immediately. He didn't go to the next thing until he had solved the problem. He never had any backlog of things to do, because he took care of everything exactly when it happened. Now, he was the owner of the company. And you may not be the owner of the company that's got a big staff, but he was like Henry Ford. He had a row of buttons on his desk, and if he needed something solved or to know something about a particular department, he pushed the button, and the manager came running, and it was over with. You know, he got the solution, the answer, or whatever, or he assigned him whatever task he wanted to assign him immediately. I saw a movie one time with Cary Grant in it, and he was the owner of a company, and he had about, I don't know, he had a series of secretaries. And so he had a bunch of letters to do. The mail came in. Somebody delivered the mail. And so he would open the first letter, and he would read it, and then he would have the first secretary take the dictation from him, and he would, you know, dictate exactly what he wanted to do to respond to it, and she would leave the room and go do it. And he'd open the next letter. The same thing, another secretary and another secretary. So however many letters that he had in the mail, he had enough secretaries always that would just go and get it done. So we may not be quite that fortunate, but we can strive for the idea, okay, to take care of things as they come up, and particularly problems. My dad was in business for his whole adult life. And when I was about 10 years old, I was with him. I guess it was a Saturday, or maybe it was a summer where I was not in school. So I was with him going out to see a customer. And the customer had a problem with something that Dad's men had done on the job. It was a large estate. The guy was very wealthy, and he could have hired any kind of an attorney to take Dad to court and cause all kinds of problems. And I was there while the guy was telling Dad what the problem was. When we left there, there was no problem. I don't remember the details about what Dad did, but the guy was happy. Whatever they discussed, my dad was happy about, I mean, he was happy about the results, the customer was. And then when we were in the car on the way home, Dad told me, he said, I don't know whether you learned anything, but I'll tell you right now what happened. My men worked here, and whatever they did, he wasn't satisfied with, the customer. And so he calls the boss, which is me, and I came out to see him. I solved the problem by giving the individual exactly what he wanted. And it doesn't matter what it was, I satisfied him 100%. He said, always take care of a problem as soon as you know there's a problem. Doesn't matter what it takes, you got to do it. He said it's the best advertising in the world you can ever do, because he will tell his friends that if they need the kind of service that we provide, they should call us. Because if there's any problem, they will take care of it fast and to the satisfaction of the customer. Sam Walton built the largest retail organization in the world by doing exactly that. It's different now. He's been gone for many decades. And unfortunately, the public has become very dishonest. So they had to change their policy. But he built the organization based on take anything back for any reason, any time. And we might ask you if it's defective so we don't put it back up on the shelf, but we'll never, ever give you a problem about getting a refund or a store credit if you're going to go out and want to shop right now and use the money. He built the biggest organization in the world. He started with one store in a small town, Bentonville, Arkansas. One store. It's the biggest one in the world. I don't think I've ever been in a country, and I've traveled a lot of countries. Europe, Asia, Africa, North, South America. I've never been in a place where I didn't see a Walmart sign. They're all over the world. The largest retail organization to this day. It doesn't matter what you do with your life. You could be a homemaker. You could be a rocket scientist. A teacher. A woodworker. Ditch digger. Heavy equipment operator. I guess you could be homeless. But I don't think you would be homeless if you did what I'm going to recommend. And I'm going to just say what Frederick L. Rawson, who I've quoted several times, what he said, our purpose in being on earth is to make other people happy. I mean, you would think this guy would come up with some kind of a complicated formula. Because, I mean, he was considered the expert to go to for electricity. And he obviously had mastered healing. And he condenses it down to that one simple phrase, make other people happy. What, four words? Four words. Make other people happy. That's our goal in life, to make other people happy. Mary Baker Eddy talks about the importance of joy, J-O-Y. Another 15-minute per appointment expert Christian Science practitioner is Wentworth Winslow. 15-minute appointments. At the end of 15 minutes, the healing was all done. Or it was the beginning of something where the individual had to do something. He talked about a mining engineer. And the mining engineer didn't even realize he'd been carrying this letter around because it was so routine for many years. And it was a letter of introduction that someone of great notoriety wrote for him about his work. And he came to visit Wentworth Winslow because he was out of work and he was out of money and he had a debt to pay. Not to mention he needed money for living. And because of the 15-minute appointment, it wasn't healed at that, well, it was really healed, but it wasn't effective quite yet. And it wasn't until after he left Mr. Winslow's office that he realized that he'd been carrying this letter around. He automatically transferred it to whatever he was wearing, a suit. He would automatically transfer it to whatever the new suit jacket was that he was wearing, and he never thought of it. It was so routine. And while he was walking, after he left his office, he thought of somebody that knew the fellow that wrote the letter that was in his same town. So he said, you know, I'm just going to go over to his office. He walked there without an appointment or anything. Just walked into the office. And he said, for some reason, I had the premonition to show this letter to you. And the guy said, I'm really glad you did, because we have a need for you. And it was in another country. You know, mining engineers go to where the mines are. And it was in another country. And that was the beginning of a very successful venture. And he was hired immediately because of the letter. And the fellow that read it knew the fellow that wrote the letter. So that's an example of where it took more than 15 minutes because the guy had to wake up, which he did immediately as he was walking away from the guy's office, from Mr. Winslow's office. But generally speaking, he and Joel Goldsmith, Frederick Rawson, are three that is well documented, had 15-minute appointments all day long. 15 minutes, a new client. Joel Goldsmith walked into the Benevolent Association, which is a facility for, it's a Christian Science nursing facility for people that have physical problems. And I don't know how many people they handle, but probably 100 or maybe 200 or 300 people. I don't know. I haven't been in that facility. But anyway, he was called by someone that was in the office, in the nursing facility, because they had a problem and they wanted him to come and visit and be instrumental in bringing about a healing. So he went over there. He had his office in the same city. I think it was Boston is where the BA was, or it was within traveling distance. It was convenient because Goldsmith's office was in Boston. In fact, it was right across the street from the Mother Church. So he went to the BA, and the receptionist, he announced who he was and he came to see such and such. And the receptionist said, "Well, you probably don't want to go in there." She said, "We have a full house and everyone here that's a patient has the same problem." And she said, "It's contagious." Joel laughed at her. He said, "How many people did you say were here that had this problem?" She named off the number. I don't know, it was 100 or 200 or more. And he said, "Well, you only have one problem." In a matter of a few minutes, he healed the whole building. That was it. It was only one problem. He just healed it with everybody that was there. Didn't even have to see anybody. That was it. We cannot think of limitation because God is not limited. God is not based on time or place. Those are all mental concepts. They don't represent truth. Truth, by the way, includes motive. Because motive is really a requirement and an input for all thought, speech, and action. Consciousness is truth. That's why it's so important to only permit into our consciousness what is true about God and man and the relationship between God and man. We want to have our door to our consciousness be guarded, as Mary Baker Eddy describes it, as if you would guard your door against thieves and murderers. Well, what is a thief? Someone that tries to steal your spiritual reflection of God. Murderer. Someone that tries to kill your concept of God. And forget about someone, because no personality, it is a erroneous thought that tries to steal or kill a spiritual thought, a spiritual existence, a spiritual realm of thinking, acting, and talking. Everything has to be translated to spirit because spirit is the only substance. In the first day, we have to get things in order. It has to do with light and reflection. It has to be separating true from false. What's true and what's false? We have to have our filter at the door of thought. Mary Baker Eddy quotes in her chapter on Genesis, chapter 15, an extremely valuable chapter. She says this explains the term, the phrase in the Bible that says, one day with the Lord is as a thousand years. Because one day of spiritual unfoldment is overcoming a thousand years of human methods. Remember, from 325 AD to 1866, we were in the Dark Ages. 1500 years. That was 1,000 years of human methods. 1500 years of human methods. She predicted, Mary Baker Eddy, and she went around the corner in 1910, so 115 years ago, she predicted that if Christian Scientists do not do their work, that we will be facing a dark age period that is more intense and longer than any that humanity has ever known. And that's where we are right now. We're on the edge. Fortunately, the people have awakened enough to elect, which really just brings him forth from out behind the curtain, because he's, as I said, he's always been the CIC. The man that sees the light to lead everyone that's willing to follow. Because the majority of thought is what's going to control whether we go into the Dark Ages or not. And he has built an alliance of many countries, I think 102 countries around the world, that also want to be free from the corruption, the swamp. So we got about 102 countries that are going to cooperate in draining the swamp. And it's going to accelerate January 20, 2 weeks from yesterday. We must be grateful. Don't make the mistake that the board of directors did. Take Mary Baker Eddy's picture out of her book. Blow up all the statues that were put in her honor around New England, which is where she lived. You know, the New England states had her statues all around in honor of what she has done. You need to read what Clara Barton says about her. She's an author listed in our menu. And I've already said what Einstein has said about her, but he's also an author. You can read more details about it. She was voted as one of the 75 women that made the most impact on civilization a few years back. Posthumously, of course. She was really number one. She wasn't one of 75. She was the number one. Because she discovered what physicists have been trying to discover for their whole lives. And she already had it through spiritual inspiration, dictated to her directly from God. She says she was a scribe under orders. That is who the author is of the textbook. A scribe under orders. Not she as an individual. I'm grateful for the people I've mentioned already and any I haven't mentioned that I've gained from. And all these excellent expert practitioners, such as I've mentioned here, and other ones. I'm grateful for everyone that has been a practitioner, that has been a top successful one. It is recommended that you review the daily thoughts and the daily topics whenever you visit the website. We have 4 special links that provide detailed information on these 4 topics, among others: How Christian Science Heals, Divine Metaphysics, System Platform, and Heal Everything. Included are detailed steps that are suggested for anyone who is really serious about taking their life to an entirely new dimension. Since Christian Science is the only religion that focuses on advancing spiritual understanding, which results in healing, what is offered on our website can be of immeasurable value if you are a serious truth seeker. Also, a button entitled Recommended Links will take you to a page that gives valuable information which may be of interest to you. Please do not hesitate to contact us by clicking on Contact in the menu and sending us an encrypted private text message. And if you feel it's helpful to have interaction verbally with us, provide your phone number and a good time to call, and we will plan to call you in that window of time. If you do not live in the U.S. or Canada, please provide us contact information for a Telegram account. And if you're not a member of Telegram, it is a free service. And just go to telegram.org and download the app. And there you will be asked for a name and a phone number, because they send a code to you by phone so you can verify your account. And that needs to be a cell phone. So when you send your message to us to contact you, please provide the same phone number and the same name that you used for signing up with Telegram. You're welcome to use a pen name, a name of your favorite pet, or anything you desire to maintain your privacy. This recording will close with a treatment called the Diapason of Heaven that Mary Baker Eddy gave us, or she basically gave it to her class, her metaphysical class that she had. You know, she had a college where she taught, the only college of its kind that wasn't a medical college, but she could issue certifications, and her top students were given the doctorate of CSD, Christian Science Doctorate. And I'm going to read what she gave them for the diapason in heaven for mind, because we're studying day one, and day one represents mind. Diapason of heaven with a focus on mind. The real Christian Scientist is constantly accentuating harmony in word and deed, mentally and orally, perpetually repeating this diapason of heaven, quote, "Good is my God, and my God is good. Love is my God, and my God is love." We can declare often, "Divine mind is my mind, and my mind is God. God is my mind, and my mind is good. I have an intelligent mind, a good mind, a wise, perceptive, discerning mind, a clear mind, a joyous, happy mind. Mind is God, all acting, all wise, all loving, all knowing, all seeing. Divine mind is enthroned in my consciousness. Mortal mind and matter and personal sense are not enthroned. Ignorance and apathy and materiality are not enthroned in my consciousness. Good is my mind, and my mind is good. Mind is my God, and my mind is good. Divine mind is enthroned. This is the Word of God." We have to change the subjective thinking we have of these seven names from personal sense to spiritual sense, and see ourselves and others as spiritual individualities, not personalities. This way is the only way. It is the way the Bible characters walked with God and ascended. Amen.